This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with co-host and Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hi there, Dave.
And our guest is Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce President Lori White. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to do so. Great to be here.
First question, your takeaway from the Chamber's recent legislative luncheon, where you had a lot of legislators and other community leaders in, and you had a great deal of discussion about a number of topics. What was your impression of how it went?
Well, there were two very sizable elephants in the room that day, the first being the discussion about the pension settlement and negotiated settlement through the mediation process and what that was going to look like and whether or not that issue, in fact, was going to go back into the State House to be discussed again during the 2014 session of the General Assembly. So that was a very large elephant in the room. We had just received word about a news conference that was on and was off. So the legislators were frustrated that this was sucking up so much airtime and will continue to suck up so much airtime and oxygen from the other issues. And the other very sizable elephant in the room was the lingering and very stubborn unemployment rate in Rhode Island. And I led off the program by saying we've convened year after year and talked about economic development strategies, and this is the year of business development and moving the needle and making it happen and all these other very, very robust community reaction to driving down the jobless rate. But it's been very slow to respond, and the collective frustration of everybody in the room, like, are we doing enough or are we simply nibbling away at the edges? So we had a lively discussion around that, and certainly a great deal of frustration was expressed.
You know, we wrote a story about we had somebody there, and the folks were quoted as saying that we have to do more, we have to do more, which brings to mind exactly what. It can't be deficit spending in a state, right? So you'd have to somehow find a lot more revenue to you know, do a big public works program. So what exactly is it that the folks in the legislature think needs to happen that's going to be dramatic enough to, you know, move the needle, so to speak?
Yeah, that's the frustration. I had brought up a bond issue that the voters of Ohio had passed on two separate occasions, totaling $1.2 billion, billion dollars, with a very sizable margin in Ohio where it was directed investment into growing technology, growing innovation, growing university-sponsored research around a number of high-tech areas. So direct infusion to grow the knowledge economy there. So I brought that up as an example. And sure, they said, you know, yeah, that, you know, that sounds wonderful. But the rub is, what about our aging and crumbling infrastructure? What about our education system that needs continued funding? What about the need to maintain the march to reduce our taxes? And that was one area where there was a great deal of commonality and very, very much eager to take on the estate tax, which we know is another punitive tax in Rhode Island. And why it's important is that it drives people out. It hampers growth. It creates an exodus of people who are, frankly, afraid to die here because of the threshold being among the lowest in the nation. So there was great sentiment about tackling that this year. There was great sentiment about the corporate tax and trying to drive that down by a couple of percentage points. And also a shared vision around a nursing education facility, a big project to redo the former South Street Power Station to create a place right outside the Knowledge District where lots of people could be put to work immediately, and we would have incubator space, we'd have place for research, we would have a joint nursing education program among Brown University, the University of Rhode Island, and Rhode Island College.
As I look at the various economic development proposals coming out, the Make It Happen 2.0, the various plans coming out of the General Assembly, I wonder, does business really need government to be in on economic development? And I understand about tax credits and grants and some other things that government provides, but why can't business just charge ahead and say, we're going to do this, this, and this?
Business can, in fact, do this, this, and this, but when they're hampered by various regulatory impediments that make it very difficult to deploy capital waiting on the sidelines because waiting for a permit or waiting for a regulatory matter that hasn't been settled yet. And certainly there's a lot of risk-taking that's necessary that other places generally feel compelled to be able to perpetuate. The tax issues very much are an issue that hurts business because there's no predictability, because you have this idea that once we engage in certain levels of tax reform, that what's going to happen the next year? Are these tax cuts going to be repealed? So without this certainty, it makes it very difficult. The other thing that makes it really, really difficult, and this is an issue that the Senate president is passionate about, is the skills gap, particularly in the STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math, and the pipeline coming out of our schools and people really not being well equipped to be employable in these fields. So what can the workforce development apparatus, which is completely controlled by government, you know, mostly the federal government, and then coming into state monies, well, how can the state utilize its funds, federal training funds, to make this a little bit easier?
Our guest on The Bottom Line is Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce President Lori White.
Well, Dave, you know, it's an interesting question. Corporations, companies, small business, large business, at this stage, you know, nationally, the economy is growing but slowly. And so the recovery from the recession proceeds, but not at a real fast pace. So even if you have private businesses doing hiring, and there are a number of them that are hiring, they're not hiring 500 people at a crack. I think that part of the answer why government would be involved is because of scale, is because they can do things that cross and touch many businesses at once, as opposed to what an individual business can do. Because we can point to, and we have pointed to, a number of individual success stories: Swipely by Angus Davis, Andera by Charlie Kroll, Epivax by Dr. Annie DeGroote. I mean, you know, there are a number of small companies, Zymetica, Stephen Lane and Aiden.
Edgy Petrie.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Aiden. Those companies are growing and finding markets all over the place, and there are a number of those. But when you talk about scale, when you talk about the problem that Rhode Island has, the unemployment rate that is stubbornly high, government does, you know, sort of hold a large key to that.
Lori, is Rhode Island really too small for its own economic development policy? Does it have to look outward? Does it have to regionalize, globalize, mm-hmm. even?
Yeah, I think any business, any entity that's operational today needs to understand that not just competing with folks around the corner or across the border, but, you know, globally. And we like to say that we are part of the greater Boston regional economy, and the borders are, in fact, very porous in terms of commerce. And an entrepreneurial website that the Chamber has sponsored, in fact, positions our entrepreneurial environment as being, you know, distinctly square right in the middle of the greater Boston region, where there is a great concentration of capital and talent and wealth and ideas and innovation and academia. So taking Rhode Island to your point and saying not an entity unto itself, but really a great place to be able to pivot right into the Boston economy. And in fact, we have a secondary marketing piece that we that's specifically for business attraction externally, where it even grows the corridor a little bit further by saying we, Rhode Island, being smack dab in the middle of the Northeast Corridor, where there's an unprecedented concentration of large corporations and large hospitals and great universities.
Quickly, any other major priorities for the Chamber this year, especially with the legislature?
We were very pleased to hear that the movement on the estate tax, in fact, is something that's going to get a lot of traction this year. One topic, Dave, that although the Chamber does not have a specific point of view on it at this moment, is the issue of how to reuse the iconic Superman building. And we did pose the question of what role does the state have, if any, in supporting the adaptive reuse? And the legislative delegation on both sides, House and Senate, Republican and Democrat, were very, very opinionated that public subsidies were off the table.
Okay, we'll have to end it here. We've been talking with Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce President Lori White. Thanks a lot for coming.
Pleased to be here. Thank you.
Also, thanks as always to Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Great to be here, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon, and this has been The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Support for The Bottom Line comes from Bank RI, a local bank creating financial solutions to help small businesses grow and succeed. More at bankri.com.